intention there?
Slide, the second slide,
is going to be divided into three parts. We will attend the meeting of the first part, which is around government issues. The second part will be around issues of performance that the CEO will be able to take us through. And the third part will be around finances. Our acting chief financial officer will give you that. This will be good of us to try to go through the presentation in that way. Chair, I think in the first part of the presentation, which is the fourth page of the slide, we wanted us to make sure that we restate the mandate and the object and also the vision. Without having to go into detail, we'll try to actually use those three bullet points just to indicate our mandate, look at the issues of the object, and also reflect on the decision that informs the existence of the company. When we look at the next slide, slide 5, we wanted us to also make a link with all the regional electricity distributors. World to World has proposed are anchored by the metropolitan municipalities. You see each one of them listed. I'm sure we have actually shared the boundaries or demarcation of the grid. We actually want to also indicate that they are linked to those six metropolitan municipalities of the country, which actually then informs the demarcation. If you look at the next page, slide 6, we wanted just to restate as well, so that the final report also is presented in compliance with the Public Finance Management Act. There are actually details that we think it is very important for us to restate. It is under scrutiny and assertion that's how we should be able to comply. But also, we thought it should be important that we confirm that with the board having the responsibility, we are responsible as an accounting authority, as the board of EDI, to look at the issue of the annual financial statement. We want also to confirm for the year we're looking at that the Office of the General has audited the EDI holding the financial statement and issued an unqualified audit report. If you look at the next slide, chapter 10, we do actually confirm the establishment of the board as the Office of the General. We want to actually confirm that we do actually have a generally recognized accounting practice. All the annual financial statements are presented in line with that. We are having committees that assist the board, which obviously all of them are chaired by the board members, which includes the different departments and management to actually do support. The committees listed below the bullet points are the committees that for the details that the board has to consider, the due process details are part of the examination, and we are actually, as a board, on the point that the chairperson is represented in these committees by board members. One doesn't speak in all of them, but all those work committees are chaired by board members. The next slide, we would like to actually confirm as well that EDI Holding maintains the world-class system of corporate governance in terms of the listed principles practices. We hope that we actually can reconfirm that just as we try to do as the board, supported by the management. The EDI Holding also and also the all principles of cooperative government in all its dealings with stakeholders. We are actually submitting regular reports as required to different authorities which are relevant in terms of what the structure is in terms of information from the EDI like we are upholding that comply with corporate governance and issues of shareholder budget and treasury requirements in all these things. The next slide, slide 9. We actually wanted to confirm that after the previous under review, we did actually have a change of the chairperson of the board. When in fact, although we do have Ms. Jolimo Carson, in how the ADR reflects, she was the chairman and is written in the board document such ethnicity the lady but the chairman. It's true that so I just think that you actually don't think it's a big thing. We did have a chairman in the Jolly Concussion. Part of that term was actually set by myself from December last year. And you know that there is a report, the annual report covered April last year to March this year. So I have actually come in and dealt with a part of term as the chairperson as well. So I would actually want to confirm the chair, but with respect to managing the financial resources and our charge, we will do actually try and we continue to ensure that they are cost effective and they are done in an efficient manner. Obviously, I think we can say issues relating to transition or important activities and events relating to what's happening in the country. It may be election at national, provincial one, which is the immediate one. I think more impact might be more to the next report, but in terms of the report we're talking about, it is often all election-related activity on how the election might have impacted in terms of what we need to do. And I'm sure the community will acknowledge that all activities that relate to campaigning, to election, to a point of transition, of getting the team to do the work, that creates the challenge of making sure that the work doesn't move as it should be. But it does actually slow down. But I don't think we present it as a program. We are a democracy, we should get used to regular elections. We mustn't see it as a disruption. The necessary process, we just have to get used to it. We shouldn't say elections are bad, because we're going to have it regularly. To the national, provincial, and local, but it is inherently disruptive. That's a big challenge to say. The point also says that we have, for our part, looked at issues at the farmers made the point that obviously after election there will be changes in leadership. I'm sure even for committee members, that actually is an impact that we're going through. Lots of settlements to get things done. Taking what is important from what was done, taking it forward. We actually want to present that as a thing that is quite important to acknowledge. We don't think it should be factored in terms of all of them. Slide 10, the next slide. I think we wanted just to highlight three issues, Chairperson, relating to what we think might be important things to know related to the report. The issue of the development of the strategic implementation staff plan. To guide the restructuring plan, and also we thought we can be able to reflect on the contribution from the EDI in terms of the work of the 17th Constitutional Amendment Bill, the Red Establishment Bill, and the After Transfer Regulation. Because as a company, we saw it important that we actually also contribute to that work. The intensification of the readiness preparation, it is actually a central responsibility that we do have as well, which includes the final orientation and cooperation agreement in terms of commencement of green planting and the consultation process in terms of section 38 processes with the relevant stakeholders. Also, the active participation of marquee stakeholder efforts to find solutions in the nation's energy challenge. That we experience, I think likely to be more to the first quarter of 2018 calendar that those processes might be initiated. It also looks like this is leading to a rescue plan development in terms of the EDI infrastructure. Currently, I wanted just to say they are early because there are issues relating to organized labor in terms of transfer, migration, and placement of employees affected by the restructuring. Because in terms of EFCON municipalities, there will be movement to the rate which have to be established. So that's the point we should talk about in terms of the discussion that we think were important, which has been initiated. Chair, if you allow, I would ask maybe if possible that we can know each other questions. Because there might be issues that you may think you need to ask questions on, which may have a CEO. If the chair permits, can allow me that I hand over to the CEO to take that part of the presentation, then the final one of the chief financial officer. If members know, then we can then take questions. Because you might find that some of the details may be much more clear. On my side, it's more on the governance issue. The CEO is on the issue to link into performance of the organization. And when it comes to issues of finances, our excellent chief financial officer will deal with that. Thank you
very much. Thank you. Thank you. Can we just continue to the topic? We actually have to look around all the questions that we did and then we will get the information.
Progress the development of the strategic implementation plan, but for the same areas of emergency and now go to the hospital to deal with the transaction of the impact of it. Our recommendation is that the facility is separated. And the first thing of time, the person has been, so this is as much to the woman as I am aware that we actually want to go to the water system and that there is a disagreement coming in on an elevated basis. And we not only have a full funding for this person, and we have developed a rescue plan for the infrastructure that has been approved by the board and has been submitted to the infrastructure department. And the human capital function strategy has been developed as well, and concomitant human resources and professions, as well as a higher level approach to the harmonization of conditions that the details still have to be worked out. And in relation to the oversight here, we have looked at the national goals, disaggregated them from the high level and aspirational sentences that we had in the way that we have broken down into associated matrices and developing such a miniature forecast. And we take some of the oversight role in the executive idea of them, but some of the oversight work that has been done for the executive of the airholding or even the medical education within the airholding. So that is wrong. And last year, when it comes to other questions, we had a necessity to continue the planning of the general sector and the strategy. And we have developed and gotten the consumer delegation structure to adopt the transferring and the migration set of agreements. The consumer delegation structure is a structure that we form in terms of the LRA, where we deal with the factory and the other involved in the DLC. So it's NUM, NUMSA, SAMU, Solidarity and Imagine, plus the entire forum, and we engage other organizations in such a meeting that are monthly. We interact firstly and primarily on human resource issues that we look at the staff in the intervention, but secondly, the high level doctors are around the issue of researchers and sharing all the key developments with the labor on an ongoing basis. And of course, we have the chief stakeholders and the chief policymakers as a donor through engagement, such engagement meetings as well as media, where we continually talk about the highlights and the issues about the economic and social structure. Now, such a connection, the previous portfolio could be informed that we are expected to report according to the balance forecast. We have adopted that as a methodology of regulation of common system of regulation and therefore that is the initiative we report. The balance scorecard has a four perspectives. One is to the financial perspective, second one is the customer, third to learning and growth of the problem in the regulation and policy. Now what we've done is to take the scorecard as applied in the practice, but we took it or adapted it a bit for our circumstances. So around the financial parameters, we report upon the financial, how many the finances that and our custodianship. Then the customer's perspective, that's where we have actually adapted it in a major way, where we've taken the four types of strategies that I highlighted in my presentation, and we put that as what we expect us to do for purposes of our customers in this context. So registration, self-leadership, advocate, and oversight work. All of that has met under the customer perspective. And then we would then move on and have the planning and growth of internal systems, which would relate to how we organize ourselves within the room to ensure that we execute on the unit, as well as planning and growth. Broadly, in terms of perspectives, finance, planning and growth, and then services take the and 70% of the data from customers. Still, this year, because the deadline of the ballot for having to get balance, but given where we are, we are going to kill it. So overall, we said, we have gone into very intense detail about from that system, all the way to like, all the way to like 25. Generally, we have achieved what we have thought about to achieve, especially in relation to the issues of the internal control. For those issues that we took and through the initiative and all of our videos and participation, we have been able to. On slide 18, we have a special policy protection in the veteran space. We have set ourselves a target. We have set ourselves a target for 2008, we have promised 1 year, and the balance would have been standard in 2009, so we have been reporting how many are left for the 2008. However, due to factors beyond our control, the video audience and those who are related to the legislative environment, we were not able to achieve that. So in our forecast, the one big thing that we put together, we wanted to achieve the development. And I think that the board was looking around how that we can for ourselves, such that for areas beyond our control, we're able to then make them appropriate. And if then I would suggest to slide 76, and what we think what challenges we are facing this moment. T1, the volunteer of the EIS process, I think the program does have the choice that it is required for the structure of the government in a volunteer manner, and therefore we are looking at the issues of amending the Constitution. And the constitutional amendment itself has not been finalized in terms of the legal timeline that we anticipated, but we are highly appreciative of the fact that we are currently in the process of a new sort of legislation. There is a function of legislation, and this case is recently one chapter, but through a huge amount of consideration in relationship to the Constitution, the Act was implemented in a mandatory way, and that was added when against the constitutional landscape, and therefore it had to be redone. But if being redone depends on and the presence are in a constitutional amendment. So the basis is likely to be because of the constitutional amendment. And then we also point out to what we call the continuous stakeholder amendment. So on the one hand, we start to sign the second amendment, so 143, 150 to sign. But the next is that not to have one set up to the table to say a long time from the way. Let's start. Our location is in the and the burden is on the government. Highly unacceptable for disabled people, so we have spoken to the landlord. We are looking at the same mutual landlord condition, just to say that we need to make a burden better. In fact, we can already start in the sense of the government to make sure that the safety is not the same and we need to ensure that the people need to have a very care. Our basic organization is in the tax system, which is a system that applies to both the structure and and third, even though we are grandfathered to include Canadian refugees and possible citizens, so we do utilize this to make a kind of refugee to do some proper investment. Number one, we do this to go into partnership with some road players that we work with. For the year under review, we went into partnership with the Social Development Services, the Association, and we funded two offenses that have been identified by the year, that means that certain we went to the court and uniform for the firm, and also visited some of the players out there, and we got a lot more than that, that we considered the new one home. I think that the listeners are very young over to their own, so that I like the area of the financial system.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to deal with the outcome that was brought up in the principal date of the annual report. And what that means basically is if you look at page 48 in comparison to page 49, and you look at the heading, you'll see that there's a list of numbers which look like the death hanging without the title. It should read note as it does on page 49. And also, you have two columns of figures which are in rent thousands, but there's no indication of which one belongs where. So, the column on the left is 2009, and the column on the right is 2000. So, if you look at the top of page 49, that's how page 49 should be. So, let's deal with the data. Now, go to that presentation. Next one, I think. We're hearing that the Auditor General has issued an opinion on the financial position and financial performance of the company, EI Holdings, and he said that it presents fairly in all material respects. That means it's an opinion. We continue to strive for excellence in financial management. In terms of our operational budget. We are running two budgets in one. There's one budget which is funded by the fiscal from the National Treasury that finances our administration expenses, that's what we call the corporate budget. And then we have another budget which is the restructuring budget, and that's funded through levies to electricity customers. So that's funded by the industry itself. So when I say corporate, I mean administration or the corporate offices. And then we're restructuring and doing the actual core business of and if you go on to the next slide, which is slide 35, which is similar to page 48 of the financial statement. What we're saying that we're presenting the balance sheet, or according to the new nomenclature, is the statement of financial position, because we subscribe to GAAP, which is the non-recognized accounting principle. What we draw your attention there is to say that going from the previous year in 2008, our total net assets and liabilities were 279 million, and they reduced to 254 million. And that is largely due to the fact that we have received funds from the MYP, but they were exceeded by the actual expenditure as we ramp up our business activities in restructuring the industry. So if you look at it category by category, which I'll go over a little bit. In terms of non-current assets, you see a slight increase from 6.8 million to 8 million, but the actual assets are declining. It's simply the revaluation of some of the property, funds and equipment. Because we now have the medium-term extended to 2012. In terms of the current market, there is a decrease in cash and cash equivalents of about 26 million, and that basically explains the decline in the balance sheet total net assets from the 279 to 254. We also have on the current liabilities, we show a receipt of about 118 million, and that receipt is coming from the MYP, which is the restructuring fund. So we get that on an ongoing basis. So for the financial year in 2009, we total about 118 million. Let's go over to the next slide number 87, which is the statement in the special normal annual report. There we draw your attention to the surplus. We have a surplus of about 2.1 million. As the CEO indicated previously, we did have a favorable variance in terms of the expenditure. We spent less than we had budgeted for, but in terms of the revenue, we had slightly more, which resulted in a surplus of the CEO. And part of it is due to the audit adjustment. We don't have something filed for the process, the deficit, but there was some audit adjustment that led to that surplus. And in this, what I indicate on slide number 18 is that our transfer and subsidies from what was then the DME, remember this report covered the period up to March 2009. So in March 2009, it was still the DME, but it has seen between January and ending. And the 60.3% increase in expenditure is mainly due to project expenses as we ramp up the restructuring process. Mainly written. The final slide, which is slide number 39, is the statement of cash flow. What that basically shows is the movement between the cash balance from the previous year to the current year. And we classify that in three broad categories, which is operating expenses, investment expenses, investment activities, and financing activities. And there, the bottom line, you see, if you look at the 272 and the 245, one is the balance at the beginning of the year, the other is the balance at the end of the year, and the difference is that 26 million, which I explained to you. Thank you.
And
in
terms of the
dividend,
just to say that we do not plan for the future, that's what we want. We do anticipate a certain outcome from some of these amendments. And that there is a great assumption that we can do for the final land. We have also continued to file a development preparation, as well as a separate engagement. We will ensure, like the formal signing of the collective agreement that has been approved in the final land, and we continue to share our own research. And national element and the adjustment to the policy activities. And here, lastly, we just do acknowledgement to all our leaders. And we can just do the year and review the one at the end of the 3rd of March, 2009. So by then, the minister will also be responding to the response. That we have something else for now. So we can still approach the 15th itself. Here, we have the board, we can share the board, as well as the rest of the board. The key stakeholders of EDR models, the government of controller, organized business, and also the self-formation, as well as the border management and staff within EDR models. Thank you.
Thank you, EDI members. Can we direct the report? Just a key question. How much you have? You want to try it?
Raising my hand to congratulate the EDI
that on the clean of it. It's really good to us. Yes. And what I'd like to know is what are in the endeavor to structure the electricity, the distribution system. What are the difficulties that you are finding in meeting your objectives? Are there some gaps? And if there are, what are those gaps? What is this that we can do as members of the community to help you unlock the blockages that might be there? But on the other place, you might have to say congratulations. Well done.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to ODM. I see we have been working very hard, and with the financial statement, I just wanted to know how do you manage, or how did you manage to do all of this work? Because we always hear of the but here, you are from. The other question that I'm having is, I see here stuff on page 29. When it comes to colored names, it's zero. Are there no colored people here? And it's that easier than to do.
Thank you, Chair. I also need to congratulate Julian for a job out there. And I know that we've been talking for quite a while, and especially to come here and we just want to watch a bit. I've had a hard time, but thank you for this wonderful presentation. I think the problem is still arises after an employee. How are you going to get this? Because that is a burning question. Because you've got to get the stage where you have to transfer and take over. I think it's a good question and information. And then the other point is what I'd like to see tariffs that are increasing with Eskom. How do you all end up here? How is it going to affect your plan? Is it an advantage or?
Chairman, I also want to join my colleagues in saying that it's a very difficult report to target. It's not good to have what we cannot be able to target. But also saying that appreciating the good work done by the UBI. I just have about three questions, process type questions that I want to ask. The one question is, ever since we came in after the election on the 22nd of April, from our first engagement to date, we are always confronted with the challenge from EBI relating to constitutional amendments, which becomes something that stops them from going ahead. What is the status quo and what is really
and issue we can do. Because you see, from our point as a community, we are public representatives. We are interested more in the public itself than the failure of government to do. What is this? Where does this thing block? Where is the blockage? And what can we do together do?
You are the government.
No, we are not. The second issue is all the issues of labor. Am I getting an impression that you do not have vacancies? I am saying no vacancies. Every single vacancy that you have received has been only. Everybody that is supposed to be appointed has been appointed. And we are in a situation where we are fully staffed, not more, not less. But the last one is more a question of clarity around the issue of spending, CFO. When in government a person says he spends less, we deal with more than an offense. That person has been given money, and that person has staged the hero. How do you spend less when you're supposed to spend more and deliver more? And whether this information might not be true in your case, if you could clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Honorable Colleagues. I'm getting an agreement in the government because now I'm asking PGOs to donate vacancies in each of and I want you to make if you have vacancies, why aren't the agents employees that will start the vacancies that actually is using this? So then I want to know why is the community. I don't kind of use that down to the specimens to the first thing or the students with the students or the inequality and then they say the talent of the least of the disabled people. But to be a certain department in the government transferring matrix, how is the scorecard there and why are the percentage of disabled people is so low? That's one I want to ask about. I think also there is a one friend showing here on page 27. The number of education, they say executive management and so on, so you don't know management and so on, and specialized skills and so on. You don't know what it is. If you can actually treat that, you will probably be able to do one thing.
Thank you, Honorable. Well, I thank you very much for the last month, the job well done. And so far, the question that I have just spoken up, but just for clarity, the government has gone to gather information in terms of the meeting of your subcommittee in the board in the region. But how many times they hold their meeting, and I think it's one of the issues that will be able to assist our structure so that they can be able to learn how to make sure that the board is effective assisting the structure to work. The other question last one we met, you gave us a report that there are 143 municipalities and the spine they are committed out of 187. And I think it's about 2 months ago, so I was like, yes. Do you want to tell me that after all these 2 months, there's no municipality that is defining? And if there's not, what's holding
Do you really understand what should we do? Is there a transition to the point of the point of the God, I think we must be able to look in terms of how do we push these brothers more and more.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The first point that one wants to raise, I'm sure the EDI team will actually add to where I don't have a share. We would like to confirm that our core main object as the EDI is to restructure. We would want just to say we are the ones which get more worried when the core object, even if you manage the organization to the best of our ability, the company, but you find that we not having the main mandate being implemented, it does trouble us, because the reason for our existence is to make sure that restructuring happens, the rest gets established. So I think maybe the point one would like to raise that point. But I would say we may be like people who are keeping the car ready, but the car is not out on a trip. So it's actually a very depressing thing for us, because we'd like to go out and get things done. But on the website, it's already happening at this stage in engaging the different stakeholders. We would like to continue engage labor, engage employer, be able to continue to engage and speak to issues where customers and communities are affected. And we'd like to actually get more leadership from the ministry and department, because obviously we are implementing a decision of government. And I'm sure if it comes to the details of the constitutional amendments and the legislative detail, I would ask Mr. CEO to comment on that. But on our part, we thought it would be quite helpful that we try and just check where the process is at, because we know that the committee would actually have to assist a great deal in prioritizing and assisting that it is in terms of decision that is to be taken. Although we don't want to say everything must stop and we wait that the constitutional amendment and the bill actually has to be sorted out. Because from our part, we see the constitutional amendment and the bill being an enabling environment. But we think we should actually continue to be doing what. Get those municipalities to give support to the process, get the restructuring process to start. So I think the CEO did make a comment that if we could, in terms of the six red areas, get to that municipality, majority of them, the red, volunteer to say, let's go ahead and implement, which can actually be very exciting. So the committee members can assist us a great deal, just to say, in terms of the different red demarcation areas, if there can be a point where we get volunteers, because we have calls for volunteers, and not all of them are coming to the front. And I think on our part, we're hoping that we can get a red area, a majority municipality that will say, listen, we think we want to get this thing done, constitutional amendment or not, in their legislative arrangement or not. We would actually be very excited. So that's the support we would require from the committee. Prioritizing the constitutional amendment in the bill, there might be other departments and portfolios dealing with the same point. We would really like to get your support on those areas. But maybe finally, as well, Chair, we may find that at the board, we do actually have committees of the board. We have been working on a year plan to make sure that if a board meeting sits, it sits because there's a specific detail we need to look at. Depending on the time of the year, the period when we actually have the board meeting, because we meet quarterly, so which means in a year there are four scheduled meetings. But in the year plan, there will be committees that will be meeting. They are all scheduled chair and they sit as scheduled. And in terms of details that we need to look at, because they have actually their agendas that are determined, there are specific things that need to be processed. Because the one that you end up with the annual report and other major details, they get processed continuously. There are reports that do get submitted every 3 months to relevant actual authorities, and those reports do go to relevant committees, and the board do ratify them. So I think I would say, if we share the year plan of the EDI, actually see those items on how actually decision making and preparation of information submission is actually managed. Thanks very much, Chair.
I think that the Councillor addressed very eloquently the role that the telecommunication can play in a question as to move the legislation fast. Just to say to the Home Minister that the last information we had was that the bill, the 17th Amendment bill, was introduced by the Parliamentary Secretary of Home. Now, the matter can be driven by the Justice of Public Committee, so perhaps there is that conversation that should happen between the Committee and the Justice of Public Committee to see how things. And generally, I think we are humbled by all the good messages around the management of the DDR women. We try our best to try to get the best resources within the country to find the people to do the work to memorize the story. They are very successful in the people in the country, so we ask them to find them and get them to the kind of work that they do in the community. And then I got all the targets that we have missed, so kind of many disabled people. We are working hard to make sure that we make sure that we meet our targets. In fact, this year, one of the things the Human Resource Committee has said is to ask us to relook our targets and to say that we need to challenge ourselves and then push the targets and participate in a little bit. So we will make sure that if we get into those positions that we have set up, we will prioritize those areas where we are at the front so that we are able to meet our targets. So the issue of whether or not we not have vacancies, yes, we do have vacancies. However, the feeling of vacancies, we have been, we haven't done a little bit by the fact that we have incorporated the feeling of vacancies into a realignment of the organization, not just by DDR models, which we are doing in accordance with the new strategic implementation standards that we have adopted as a board. Given that we are still in the process of getting that approved, we are not able to move with speed in terms of getting the vacancies are not helping our ability to operate because we do have the ability to get people to act in those positions, and we find the fact that those people who act in those positions are secure and they are supported very well. We, of course, have to support them quite a bit, but we have found that we do have people that are able to address it in the best way. Coming to the issue of assets and employees, we have in the transaction that we spoke about themselves, but there are another commitment and we can kind of share some of the details. We have made certain proposals about how assets and abilities start being handled going forward. So, in relation to assets and abilities, we propose that they transfer. Following the transaction type of the sale of business. So the existing asset owner sells to the future asset owner, and some considerations that extend to them will not be charged. We're proposing that the shareholding be given for current asset owner. But there's a whole number of options that we have left open there, and once we are in negotiations, we'll be able to report to the government what is the preferred route. Some offerings are proposed now that to give them shareholding would not be in their interest, so we might think that the alternative arrangement for those people. So that's the problem that we're getting ready to start. As well as the reference process, we're identifying all staff that not only does electricity engineering work, so the staff in human resources that manage human resources staff, the staff in finance that manage electricity finances, the staff in corporate services. So we're looking at identifying the full set of skills that has anything to do with electricity. And we're going to get those transferred in terms of the labor relations act, section 189. We're talking about which subsection is actually the best to do that under. And we have found each other with labor in that area, and it would possibly be holding the transfer and making sure that people do not get prejudiced in terms of their conditions of service. We are considering the impact of the challenging system at the district point because the way we have more options that obtain from that. So we are considering the situation in that case. We have done a preliminary report, but we'd like to model a few more municipalities and depending on when that's a goal with this decision, we are able to take one study that will be. So there will be an impact. And depending on the various scenarios, we are looking at the energy and we then advocate that certain costs be taken in relation to that so that we ensure that there is however room is located. Chairman, I think I've dealt with the statement of the Philippines Constitutional Amendment in Parliament we have to look at the conduct of the Philippines Amendment. I've dealt with the issue of vacancies from members now and the double indemnity of standing, but we are able to say that the understanding that we show is not not amount to compromise in Philippines, which is in some categories where we did not spend money on the business, and the amount in our view are necessary to remember that there's a professional perspective. And yes, we do plan to use vacancies to, particularly around the stability targets. That's what we want to do. We had an assessment for the disabled person, and the same design, unfortunately, and that was not our head of the case, but there are some positions where we just say that in this case, we need to make sure that we present those positions for people with disabilities.
Do you want me to go? No, that's fine. Okay. Why are they leaving? Is it of course of the friendliness of the buildings?
Because I had indicated that one of the tenants we had, the building where I didn't see them, all the buildings, and the facility of the children, the whole building. We had actually gotten to amend it, but on the staircase, we have gotten a wheelchair raised to be attached there so that we are able to move if anything were to happen. So when we did the video of our job, we actually didn't have to utilize that facility, but there are a lot of things to be done in the building, and we are speaking to the landlord to stop that out. But also, we ready for people to make sure that we are compliant. We need to give them anything more to do. Ted, one question asked about the organizational structure. If I may just explain the organizational structure, we have here. So we have the board, we have the management team, which is the CEO, plus the people who are fortunate. We don't work with the general manager. And the general manager in the main are located in the region. They are our project managers in the fiscal region that we are looking to bring into the country. But we do have the certain functional areas, so we see much better we would have general manager in finance. Then we know that we have senior managers. And the second skill refers to, in the main project manager, we are a project-based company, so we need to have a lot of project managers. But also we do have specialist subject matter skills. So specialist financial people who are able to handle management, specialist lawyers who are able to deal with those types of legal issues, human resource people who deal with change management, specialists in legal relations management, and so on. So we do have a number of specialist areas where people act. And then the discretionary skills essentially would be where you have your general type of work, PA, and administrator, and those types of people. So that's a plan. All of them are in 94. So we have a public working with them, and we have those categories of our staff. So we will keep a tight small number of people within there, which is because the idea was for us to start the structure and move up. So we were not going to create a huge staff base that is going to have to be dealt with when it comes to the structure of the industry. And we do utilize that as providers to sustain up and down. And I think the chairperson did ask for the question of college meetings, generally, the executive in the IMF platform of social work. The board meets 4 times a year, and we still have committees of the board meetings. Generally, the committees meet, and people come to meetings to help and they appreciate their responsibilities. They speak about serious management. And the number of only requires to the standard settlement agreement. As of March 2009, as you said here, we got the number of pictures from the office and it was transferred to the settlement. So, yes, we are going at the fact that we have a lot of companies that we have and those that haven't signed is not what they don't want to sign. So, we are just working with them to make sure that we sign and we bring back to the future.
But I'd like to add that the main some efficiency also grows in terms of when we do the body, we do it during a movement, and we start a movement. So some of the activity, as we move forward, we tend to do more readiness as we sit down, because we have all those new parts that are signed a session agreement, and then we go to them for infancy. But I also wanted to go back to the earlier question in terms of how we manage in terms of financial management. What I want to point out is the importance of leadership in terms of the board structure. You have a leader which is the board chairman, and you know his power delegates to the CEO. And the role of the board committees are very, very important because they provide all of us. They have among the board committees that there's an audit and risk committee that looks after audit, internal audit matters and risk management activities of the company. But we also have the finance and procurement committee that looks at the finance, which is mainly reporting, and procurement issues. How we can carry out the procurement with in mind with you know best practices, like treasury, you know, the we also have our supply chain personnel filing an ethical code of conduct. Which holds an accountability. So leadership and accountability, and that, you know, something to help to good financial management.
Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Just so that if you go to the management, you will be able to leave actually, but you also just throw in other comments, providing yourself with the. One of the anything you say that will trouble the community, especially against issues of morality. So thank you, it doesn't come up. Thank you very much. I just want to thank the guy for the presentation as well. Will be able to look into it and be able to look into the form. The other colleagues will be able to also collect the minutes of this meeting. But thank you very much. And at this moment, we'll be going for a tea break. We can stay around in a few minutes anyway. Then we'll be taking on the Delta.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be doing the first project. Yeah. artificial intelligence, connected intelligence, or the intelligence sector. We do study this before you have to send them a lot of funds. You don't come up with it in my emotions. But now, all of the explanation I am going to open
I think they have to do that. The important thing that I need to indicate to you and July 2006. NAFTA was established in 2005, and it first regulated the pipeline industry and the pipeline industry. And then, of course, in July 2006, then regulated all three points of energy. We were four basic legislation: the Establishment Act, which is the National Human Regulation Act; the Electricity Regulation Act, which regulates the electricity industry; the Solar Pipeline Act; and the Gas Act. So, in essence, we put three independent acts: one umbrella one, which is establishment, and three ones which are regulated specific industry. And of course, from time to time, the minister does issue regulations and directions. And this requires by legislation after consulting the regulator. Now, to set it right up front, the manner in which the energy regulator is used, structure to go to the land regulator method, five or two contact times, four full times, all of them are appointed by the minister. And you go to chairperson and the DC chairperson, two contact times. And you go to four full time regulators, chief executive officer, and three others who are primarily responsible for the three areas that I've just mentioned. And you go to nine subcommittees. Prior to the establishment, and I think until around 2008, our subcommittees were functionally arranged in terms of pricing, compliance, and dispute resolution. But after some experience, we then restructured the subcommittees into industry specific subcommittees, including the chief subcommittee, package subcommittee, the program package. Then we've got two committees, which are another one, which is the Policy Subcommittee and the Regulator Executive Committee. The Executive Committee consists of the full-time regulators and the CEO, and then we've got what we refer to as government committees that we have in many organizations. We refer to the EDI Board Finance, which also sits as the Deep Education Committee for Supply Chain Management Issues. Policy and risk, human resources and remuneration. So very briefly, to give you an idea, just below the board, the chief executive officer reporting into the energy regulator, we have four divisions divided into those areas, and five specialized support units, which all of them report to the chief executive officer. During the reporting year, up to the 31st of March 2009, we had a staff complement of 149.43. Last year in October, the energy regulator approved a new charter which came into effect on the 1st of April 2009. So, in terms of our strategic objectives. Strategic objectives are entered on the hierarchical demands that are placed on us from the policy perspective, law, regulation, and rules. So we maneuver within that space whereby we are dictated to by those principles. And of course, we believe that we need to ensure that we establish credibility, legitimacy, and sustainability as a transparent and independent regulator. And we got two additional enablers, is that we must see ourselves as ensuring that we deliver on our mandate and purpose, and we are effective, and we evaluate that effectiveness as we move forward. Now, to get it into the substance of our mandate, just before I go into the details, the process that we follow here is one that all the state-owned enterprises and entities that now is the public agency, the Schedule 3A entity, follow, that we submit the strategic plan are doing and what we intended to do, was called for the environment that we're operating in has changed, in which case we need to adapt either amend or add new projects. So of the original 437 plan activities, 73 of those were removed through the process that I've just explained. And the removal of such projects was necessitated mainly due, and these reasons I'm sure they apply to many organizations. First of all, processes being dependent on other workers and therefore being outside of national control. We've had the courses saying that the engine is running and ready to move, but so we were such projects that we need to factor in the tender process. And if there's no movement because of certain other factors that are beyond even EDI going to fall, we have no, so we need to reschedule this process. But in a system only to do this process, we are part of this process. Reprioritization aspects as unexpected midterm application by ESCOM and Transnet, especially the ESCOM one, which are well publicized, and even so publicized the Transnet one. And of course, human resources constraints to play the part, particularly in specialized areas. Of the remaining three activities, climate and political activities were executed as well. So just to take you through, and I'm probably running the relationship structure on these other slides because they are just elaborating on the details. You recall at the beginning of last year we embarked on the inquiry into the National Electricity Supply Shortage and Load Shedding, and then we produced a report on the 19th of May 2009. And I think the important thing that I think the committee will want to note that in that report we did mention that ESCOM was correct to have declared possibly on the 24th. Or general 2008, otherwise we could have had a failure of the car. So, and of course, the industry cooperated and shut down their operations, especially the mining industry. Of course, getting out of that situation, we know now it has not been an easy one, but at least we managed to be taking there and hoping and believe that we won't have such a situation again. Together with other stakeholders, we hosted the electricity food maintenance summit, which we are monitoring. And of course, we also received that application from ESCOM, which we dealt with, where we considered the 13.3%. Together with the 14.2%, we granted them earlier amounting to 7.5%. And of course, that was the second one, the third one came together. We have approved 147 municipal credits during that period for 1st July 2008. I must say that in some of the instances, this does not reflect that at the end of the, or when the municipality starts to implement. In many cases, the number is bigger than this, but at the time of reporting, this was the only one that we had seen. We also participated in the National Electricity Emergency Program. We also doing what we call a National Integrated Resource Plan before it was officially taken over by the Department of Energy. We approved the renewable energy feed-in tariff, we call it the 26th of March. Therefore, the first of its kind to encourage ICTs in the renewable space, hoping to make the contribute to government target of 10,000 gigawatt hours by 2013. And of course, the MIPD rule change, we've addressed those. We awarded the first green light to the first electricity trading license to our scholars. We also approved the self-generating license associated with the GPA on the 26th of March. by not using electricity, those were the highlights. In the healthcare industry, we have approved 29 licenses of 54 areas. We are awarded the capital group incorporation of this area, Calgate, Free State, and Kumara. We also licensed trading in gas, capital gas. We also granted 7 gas distribution operations and 7 trading licenses on capital gas in the set. I must indicate that most of these granting licenses, because you recall that the gas tax came into being when these facilities had already existed. Most of these are existing facilities, but we still have to license them so that we can know exactly where they are. We also granted a license to streamline gas, which is to be tested in the case, and testing distribution construction license application were also constructed. Four transmission pipeline construction license applications have also been granted. And we continue in terms of monitoring the structural volume monitoring coverage gauge price. This is a very complicated calculation which is contained in the Mozambique Gas Pipeline Agreement, which the government of the Republic of South Africa, the government of the Republic of Mozambique, and Sasol and have used to enable the construction of the pipeline from the mining company that we know now in supplying South Africa with natural gas to the Kuta. So we are monitoring that. The prices that are being charged today. We also determined the special regulatory situation, station 9.18 and 9.68. I think without going into numbers, which is that in the agreement, it is provided that Sasol must provide customers in South Africa 120 million GBUs for the next 25 years. So these calculations are there for us as a regulator to see your exploration commitment. Are they still on track to make sure that South Africa gets that amount of gas before you give it to anybody else? That's basically what we are going to do there. But I'm also calculating the maximum prices that that we need to publicize for such a customer to be aware of what are the prices. We've also consulted on the establishment or rather the development of the target sales guidelines, which were subsequently approved after the end of the year. We also determined and consulted on the on-call service. The pipeline of the Mozambique and Secunda is written is owned by a consortium consisting of Sasol and a company in Mozambique. So that company is called Romco. So as a pipeline, they don't own the product, they own the natural monopoly. So that company is in Romco. So there's a formula that they need to use. So if there's an agreement, the agreement, they have to charge so much for any gas that is below 100 million GBUs. For any gas above that, then they have to apply to the regulator. In terms of petroleum construction, we are also constructing facilities that they have on the national airport in Devon. We also approved a construction license for additional storage at the OR Tambo International for the purpose of addressing increased volumes at the during the 2010 FIFA Super World Cup. We also, as an energy regulator, granted license to Sasol Oil Limited for a pipeline to transport petroleum pipeline between Sasol Secunda and the Natural Panama, especially the Eden Center. That is for operational efficiency if the two plants are connected. A total of 37 operating licenses were also granted. 12 storage facilities, 15 for airport storage facilities, one for NACOS, satellite to Dennis, and the operator that needs to DT, and then the satellite for the final. And eight were operating licenses to Mona, Sisodan, and for Israel. Continuing with the program pipeline industry, we granted operating license for marine loading and facilities for the first time. The DT shell and engine, thank you for 3% to the Delta Nama, and the DT shell shuttle, satellite engine, thank you for the senior warm water facility offshore or in Delta. We also approved the Interpetrol Petroline pipeline. Unfortunately, this particular approval seems to be difficult because we Petroline has been started from starting. We also approved the second amendment to the tariff methodology. We approved the transfer tariff for the financial year 2008-09, and also approved the draft determination because we received another application from the transfer partner. In terms of cross-cutting regulatory issues, the initial regulator has approved the two benchmarking reports. What the energy regulator has done is to commission a report to benchmark itself against certain international practice. The first stage was to gather and see whether I was doing what we were supposed to do. The second phase was to develop a framework against which we were going to benchmark ourselves against each other. And then the third phase was to identify the improvement areas which we are now finalizing. And we also developed what we call regulatory reporting manual. Regulatory reporting manual is a practice that is used by well-established regulators whereby they provide process, procedure, and format of how regulated entities should submit the information. I mean, if you look at paperwork that you receive from applicants, it's this big, but what you need from product is this much. So what regulators do, they provide such a regulatory reporting manual so that licensees should comply with the big value of information that will be implemented. This particular implementation of the reporting manual has started. We started with the DC network, because other municipalities were going to have the resources that we mentioned there. And we started the Transnet Pipeline and Eskom and of course Chevron as the one in this local pilot. From the organizational perspective, they will develop the IT master plan, and of course we need to now start connecting by way of IT with this particular entity. We also approved procedure for NASA meetings. We have reduced, as I indicated, the sense of preference of the regulator, which does most of the work of the energy regulator. And then we also address the outstanding elements of the operations model, which defines the relationship between the CEO and the other full-time regulator. And as I indicated, the structure of the secretariat was revised in the 30th of October last year. And we started implementing it now. And we amended and approved a number of finance and administrative related policies. It is not really all of them new, but most of them have been updated, particularly the supply chain management, which will give us a headache. That with the CGI, we have received a consistent audit opinion which indicates that we've got an unqualified
report, budget report.
We also completed and approved those necessary documents that are in the strategic plan in terms of submitting annually to the NIASA. We are reports in terms of timing, quarterly performance report, and the management of accounts on a quarterly basis. All the time will never be maintained. Of course, like in any other organization, we do have delays and backlog, particularly the electricity supply statistics, which used to be one of our important documents we provide statistics to the government. Particularly, that we are trying to automate our linking with our electricity so that we can provide accurate information. But in many instances, we don't receive this information in terms of messages. The final stages of the NIRP was late due to resource constraints, particularly the experts that we're working on there. That's why we have the transmit the license application in operating transmission pattern to not be completed due to obtaining information. And of course, similarly, the petroleum pattern operating license that would not be completed. In terms of the two laws, that is the GET Act and the Petroleum Pattern Act, we still have the deadline given in the GET Act within which we must complete. The application, but they are, those are some of the things going forward. Now that we know what we are supposed to do, we may have to recommend to the policy minister to review that. Instead, in terms of the self-confidence, the strength to the 117, and of course, the complement is 143. The patient is 26 health at the 31st of March 2009, and that shows the division. Going forward, that hydrocarbon division is now being disaggregated. One of the things in the new structure, the hydrocarbon division 20, has now been disaggregated into the petroleum pipelines and pipelines. In terms of self-analysis movement, reporting resignation, of course, the ticket about 40. Most of the movements were only in the reservation side, the people moving on to do other things, particularly in the specialty skills. I must indicate I think one thing you are presenting a case from the table. You are talking for me, so I will not repeat what you said. But in the other areas, the figures are error factors. The same number of 117 questions are combined to these two slides into one. I'm sure in terms of gender, we surpass it in the national average, in terms of gender. moving on to this, financial performance check. Obviously, our systems are SMA, federal regulations, GAAP, which is the standard of general accounting practices. That's what governs our management of our money. We had an approved budget of 149.5 million for the financial year. The actual expenditure is 119.7. And the deficit at the end of the financial year was 3.9 million. Now, in terms of our finances, such as the section 13 of the National Energy Regulatory Act, requires that the cost of regulating a particular industry must be borne by the levies imposed on that industry and must be ring-fenced. So we got the ring-fencing methodology will dictate that all direct costs are allocated directly to the industry and common costs are allocated using a formula which is essentially 16% subject and then 24% solar mass. Now that's the quick snapshot share of the consolidated budget balance analysis. Is that the budgeted levy collection was 112.8 and the actual was 110. And the other income, which is actually the interest that we earn in our CCD account that we hold in the reserve bank, and the expenditure is 79.5. I think it's very important to explain the concept here, which we normally sometimes have to explain a number of times. So you will see that the levy, which is the revenue, is lesser than the budget expenditure, which is higher. The reason for that, at the end of every financial year, we experience surplus. So those surpluses, we then calculate it in to levy the industry less. So that is why you find your revenue is lower than the budget expenditure. But going forward, in some cases, we don't achieve that. So we do come on to work with us. As I indicated, the levy that we collected amounted to 118 million. The expenditure we have 119 million. The deficit that we experienced is that of 3.4 million. And we had an income that we got from the interest, that's 6 million. So we can see that as the ratio for current assets to current liabilities is 8.4 to 1, which indicates that we are a growing concern, having to advance the necessary assessment. Operating expenditure includes rental and operating leases for office equipment, variable cost and personal depreciation charges. 36.1% of capital expenditure was spent on acquisition of computer hardware and accessories. 11.9% on office equipment and the rest on computer software and laptop systems, as well as modern networks. Land and building is fully paid up and owned by NASA with a carrying value of the 8.5 million. That is the quick snapshot in terms of where our extra expenditure went to. Most of it went to the employee cost, because of being a knowledge institution, most of our costs go to the employee cost. I received there again that we received an unqualified audit opinion. However, the audit raised a matter of purpose, and that is the regular expenditure. And that is the regular expenditure was necessitated likely by two things. One, I think it was historical, and secondly, it was non-compliant with the treasury note number 2 for the national treasury, which dictated some threshold as to, for instance, from 2000 you can buy with articles from 0, from 2000 to 10,000 you need to obtain three codes, from 10,000 to 300,000 you need to go to competitive zero, something like that. So it had to do with the policy that we had not having with the latest version of the trigger code to comply with the older version. needless to say, she is just the police that I indicated the corrected there. But secondly, there's also a phenomenon that is called the momentum of control. If you have a contractor who sits in your body, and then you put your cleaning services in here because the cleaning services is a number of them. And those contracts, it requires that every particular area must go on a competitive speed. So that historical phenomenon now that we are addressing it, even in those supply areas like what we have to do on a competitive speed for any and control of the production of the food. So I'm sure that they explain that question. And we are addressing all the
45 times 3 application approved,
the feeding tariff is still much higher than the current Eskom price, or what Eskom can sell energy for. They're using this price level rather than restraint on renewable energy. Because nobody can buy renewable energy at the current price in Cuba Group. Secondly, I want to find out about your part-time regulated member. It's on page 18 of your report, where you actually state that by September this year, the term of office was gone. Have they been replaced, or what is the procedure, and what is going on there? Another question that I just, and this is for my information, Bravo, or as you call it now, the City Power Station, I see you've approved it for 5,160 megawatts. But Eskom is telling us that it's 4,500 megawatts. And I would just like to know about that. Then I'm worried about the different tariffs for municipalities. If you look currently, and if I remember correctly, your figures from last time, there's about 1,600, is that about right? Different tariffs that are currently running around in the country. I'll give an example that Senclec in Bloemfontein, who's supplying the electricity there, has got 52 different tariffs that they are selling electricity for, and that's one company. If you look at places like Bloemfontein, and I'm talking under correction again, their tariff used to be something like 46 cents a kilowatt hour, while other places go up to about 2 rand a kilowatt hour. And that is a big problem that we have. In the southern Free State, where Senclec is providing electricity, within one municipality, there's about 4 towns, and each one of them got a different tariff. And that is unacceptable. I think that's something that NERSA will seriously have to look at. Also, just on the about 20 municipalities that have not applied yet, what steps are you going to take against them? Because I believe that the tariff that they are currently raising is illegal. On page 38, you state very clearly that you are going to work a lot on the power saving directive. It's one of the things that you are also looking at. But it seems currently that Eskom is not caring about that. We've got a lot of people with the most wonderful electricity saving methods, but Eskom is not even talking to them. They're not interested in implementing them. Have you got any control on that? Or is there a way where these people can actually be, or Eskom can be forced to use these things, or at least evaluate them? Because I believe that that would solve a big problem. You also talk about the monitoring of Eskom's coal supply planning. If you remember the report that came out recently, and I'm talking about things like the Susan Olsen report and so on, and also if you listen to Mr. Minister Hogan, they said they're going to sign finally, end of next year, hopefully, two long-term contracts. And currently, Eskom is buying about 40% of its coal on short-term contracts, and this costs about 60% of the price. What is your take on that, and what are you doing about it? Because it seems like one of the things you are looking at. I'm worried on page 44 that most of your vacancies is in the electricity department. If you look at electricity, most probably your biggest concern at this stage. And I also want to know in a lot of the things that you could not reach was due to the delay in Eskom's application for the multi-year price determination. Why do you take it from Eskom? Is Eskom playing with you, or now you can't reach your targets because the Eskom is late and so on? I think that's where it starts with you. Yeah.
I got to the limitation of the
question. Some have been published, but I might explore a few others. I'm just interested in the multi-applied discrimination process. As far as I'm saying, the situation from that is that what needs to inform the process is an integrated resource plan. And I see here that you say that the person responsible for drafting it has resigned, and that's why there's a delay. If there's a delay in the National Integrated Resource Plan, well, that also means that there's a delay in terms of processing applications that will not be applied to determination. And if you can just elaborate on that. Also, I mean, in terms of the National Integrated Resource Plan, there have been various reports and there has been some information that has gone out into the public, which some of it is a bit worrying in terms of the actual recommendations around the amount of renewable energy that can in fact be utilized over the next 5 to 10 years. In fact, if one sticks to those targets, then we won't reach the 10,000 gigawatt hours target by 2013. So I'm just interested to hear what the process is around the nerve and how that's going to affect things. In terms of the research, I mean, as you said, you know, you've come up with a second phase of the research. But I don't think that we've seen any projects in the fifth phase of the research. And part of the reason for that is because of precisely the cost recovery mechanism. And Exxon refusing to sign a power purchase agreement until that cost recovery mechanism is in place. How far are we with the cost recovery mechanism? And how is this going to work as well? Because we've got a situation whereby obviously certain monies need to come from the fiscal, people need to come from some other source and the cost recovery mechanism. But there's a bit implied that there's a cap on the amount of projects that can actually take up the research. And then how is that going to be determined? Is it going to be a tendering process that different IPPs have to then put forward to see whether they qualify for that particular research? If you can just give us some clarity on that, because quite clearly we've been coming up with very aggressive numbers on the research, but we're not getting any progress on it yet. And I think this is a bit concerning. Just saying also the approval to municipality tariff of the only 147 you've approved. What about the other, I think, 40 or so? And I think, is there a policy in place with regards to municipalities? Because I think a big worry in the public's mind is that not only is Eskom going to get the 45% times 3, but that in fact municipalities themselves will then also put an increase on that particular increase that you've awarded. So we need to, and obviously this is the state of the revenue generated for municipalities. Is there a policy in place to prevent that from happening? Can we reduce uniformity of the municipalities because we really need to keep that under control? And then just lastly, I wanted to know about the contract that Eskom has signed with large energy intensive users. We've seen a lot of, I tried to get some of the information with regards to those contracts, and the response keeps coming back that, in fact, that's a confidential contract, the business contract, and therefore we're not privy to what price they are in fact paid. But yet, at the same time, we keep hearing the argument from Eskom that, in fact, that other users are not subsidizing these particular energy-intensive users in the country. But we can't determine that until we know what the actual prices are that they're paying. Has NERSA got that information? Are you able to get that information? And is that information able to be shared with the community in camera? Because I think we really need that to inform the debate around energy in South Africa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The regulator that they are 14 resolution. And this 14 resolution is what are the reasons for leaving the regulator? And is there no retention policy? And secondly, there is one dismissal due to poor work performance. According to the skills development, why is the disciplinary procedure where there is no way out to place this person because of the work from surely was placed on the incorrectly. Is there no way that he can supposed to be placed correctly to avoid this vacancies as well? Really now we are having to situation. And now we are also this recognition that is also contributing to increasing the number of the unemployed men in the country.
Yeah,
not there, I think.
Isn't power sharing issue, power saving? And I wonder if you're going back to Mary, if you're worth going back, I mean, they take a ride around the waterfront and look at the new thing. It's like a Christmas tree. And there's no activity. So one wonders what is the whole idea. Is it because they know they'll recoup the money elsewhere?
And you want to go to the next one.
The reason that we're doing restructuring is that
what we do on our part as an individual is we will provide guidelines, and guidelines in terms of statistics, but we also provide benchmarks. For instance, our benchmarks are a mirror of the fixed rate. So we say for a low residential, you can only charge so much to that much, because we've taken the benchmark in that particular rate area with a view of encouraging convergence that this term to be reduced from these numbers to fairly small numbers. We do on a regular basis when licenses apply for this service, we do encourage them to reduce them. Some of them are too many and they don't make sense. So we do agree with you that the long term solution is the infrastructure. In terms of municipalities that have not applied, this year we had been a very unusual situation whereby ESCOM applied for an increase. And
like
for the status of
late.
Sorry.
They applied late.
They applied late. And but you see, the other thing, what the regulations is just to do, is just to do to monitor the situation. Frankly speaking, where we were sitting, observing the financial status of ESCOM at the time, we were wondering how they were going to survive, because it was clear that the tariffs that were applicable at the time, they needed to do something. And when they submit an approval, we do those analysis. Then we do come to a conclusion, particularly the service ratio, we're looking currently in a bad state. But notwithstanding that, you are caught up in a situation that there's a regulator, you have to protect the customer. On the other hand, you've got to make sure that the industry is sustainable. To an extent that we have that information, and when an application reaches our table, we need to respond to it. The code contract, obviously, is going to deal with those matters as part of the MYTD, and as we're doing including the issue of the spot market. We are addressing issues of vacancies. In fact, the area where we had most vacancies is in the area that you have indicated, the IRP tool. That's a specialist area. It means the people that can do relatively good focus. By the way, we were tracking and telling on the one hand, we were infrastructure in the planning. These people are planning a more like 4 to 25 years. They look at the house. So they don't so much look at the prices in the next 3 years. They look at the long-term activity. So yes, your price track, the resignation in that area would affect the forecasting, but not so much the price determination. Just to answer Mr. Craig's first question. And we are addressing those today. I've already addressed Mr. Craig's first question. Yeah, with regard to the implementation of reference, what we are doing as a regulator is limited. There are other players in the environment. What we have done, we are doing in terms of making sure that we approve this meeting service, making sure that we provide a standard PPA, making sure that we finalize the cost recovery guidelines. And making sure that the issues of who then becomes RIPA, how does RIPA work, what are the criteria, we can only contribute to that decision. Believe the ticket that RIPA will be located within ESCOM, and there's not too much that an interregulator can do in that regard. The 147 approved service out of the 180-something. Normally, when you report the report during the financial year, if by the end of March 2009, you only approved 147, the other two reporting to the next financial year. So that doesn't mean that we want to keep those applications. We'll keep those applications in the following year. The issue with the markup, let me first start by saying that distribution in South Africa is done largely by ESCOM, municipalities, and of course some private distributors like the offshore creek mines, where they are the ones who build that infrastructure. Now, the way we start with an average price for ESCOM, then we come to the guidelines we give to municipalities and the benchmark. And on the basis of that, they submit an application to us. So that application, whatever they charge, they approve. So you've got two things, and ESCOM, remember, is also a distributor. That is why we do with regard to ESCOM. After they've submitted this, they've got to submit work to research with the after the electricity structural adjustment research items. And we look at all of these categories. So that markup doesn't bypass us. It's approved by us in terms of guidelines, guided by us in terms of guidelines, but it's also approved by us because the municipality must apply to us for their service. With regards to the negotiated pricing agreement, in the volume of things, the pricing agreement has gone way down. I think they constitute about 35%, 7% of the whole volume.
No. Go and read again.
If I may repeat it.
We can allow you to be able to apply, and then you can put a block, you'll be able to read that block.
The negotiated pricing agreements are instruments between major consumers such as your smelter and so on. And largely those that are existing, that we know. What is stated by our, you know, surplus reserve margin and through that time, that's some benefit, only now that getting into the same way as well. They rely, they are basically on three main factors affected to this. One is the standard price that we approve, so we have been doing that, approved to the exchange rate, when the dollar exchange rate, but more importantly, the commodity price. During the commodity boom, some properties is all the way. Now, the digital times, they are suffering. So they're going to see how they get out of so they were done some years ago. So that's all one can say about that. With regard to some living matter, honorable member, I can assure you, these people that are living now are going for better shots. So they are not big time costs. We are not contributing to the unemployment rate. To an extent that I can give you an answer is that the main reason for leaving is special opportunity framework. Being a knowledge institution, you tend to be flat in terms of organizational structure. So people may not see promotional opportunities. You're a flat factor, you're a knowledge institution, you're a relatively good your production environment. You get promoted all the time and people come, you know. So people move for various reasons, including, there could be other reasons that I'm not mentioning here, but mainly people move because they want the salary, they are marketable, they are good at some of the the last feature, the issue of power conservation. We as DASA are playing our part in terms of making sure that we finalize our rules, and I'm sure that 2019. But at the end of the day, the impossibility of it is going to be a challenge. And I think what we need to make sure that once these rules are adopted, then they get the implementation in a manner that they will give the results that they desire for the future.
Stephen, I'd like to take the second round. Advisors would that members should keep their helpers and have the experts to be able to provide the leadership. Can we get the second round? Mr. Schmidt, you still want to ask the point from Japan? Japan, we need to check what you make up. Maybe I'll start with you, follow up, and if Chinese, and then, yeah.
Yeah, just on the point that I don't feel that you completely answered my question on the large energy intensive users, which uses about 24,000 gigawatt hours per year, which is a sizable amount. My problem with this though at the moment is that we haven't debated about future energy choices for South Africa and future tariff increases and things like that. Whereas these agreements seem to be completely outside of those particular debates. If you're talking about a sizable amount of energy being used by, I think, to be about 16 customers. My question is whether you have got knowledge of what those tariffs are, what ESCOM is charging them, so that we can then include that in the particular debate that we have going forward. And how long are those contracts for? Can the contracts be gotten out of? What are the issues there? And it's mostly got no authority over giving guidance or guidelines around those particular contracts that have been entered into and any future contracts that might be entered into with regards to that. Just on the whole research process, as I said, it's great to have these prices, but if someone chooses to buy them with signing our purchase agreements, then we can get nowhere. And you have a certain duty as nurses to encourage a diversification of the energy mix to ensure that we reach the target of 10,000 gigawatt hours by 2050. So what particular measures do you have in place to ensure that ESCOM in fact does sign power purchase agreement so that we can actually get the renewable energy to grow? And just lastly, on that research, I see that in the second phase you've excluded any renewable energy below 1 megawatt. Why is that? I mean, is it because a number of households are interested possibly in putting up solar panels on their roof? I mean, I'm interested in it. But the cost is very exorbitant, that if I can claw back some of that cost through a two-way metering system and through selling some of that electricity generated into ESCOM, which would then alleviate the need for battery storage as well, and I've got a great incentive to do that. So I see that you haven't looked at that in your second phase of the research. Why is that?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Most of my questions were asked by the other people who are the owner of the members. But I just want to know this, the irregular expenditure. What has actually happened here? Because you talk about 16 million rand. What is this that we are doing to avoid this recurring? And what it was irregular? It means that you didn't follow treasury regulations and there were somehow flouting of the law by the concerned people. What action was taken by the institution to correct them?
Thank you.
Of course, sometimes if you do hard work, you will realize that when you get hammered, when you get the wood, whereas there are all these difficult questions, I must say that it shows that NERFA has indeed approval to grant, which included another 47 million funding application. Maybe you should clarify the issue of the difference between grant and approval. That's one, just a clarity question. Whether there are some that you are not saying to us here of the applications that you have rejected, or everything that comes to you, you approve. You know, normally the resistance coming from DA to say you have become a friend of ESCO rather than the regulator. And I see a lot of the way approved and grants in here. And I've been trying to look for the way rejected somewhere, and I haven't seen any. There might be some somewhere. The problem that was at the airport, I mean, I think that's true. I'm sure that we are approaching and that we don't anticipate problems in the coming year. And the last one being the issue relating to benchmark, using the international best practice. Have we not approved the intention to do so, or are you practically actively benchmarking against international standards? And if so, is there a particular document that comes up as a guideline for international standards, or are you benchmarking against particular individual countries, either in the north or the south or the east? And if so, which countries are you going to benchmark against?
Thank you. Thank you,
Chairperson. Everyday question. I just heard you saying electricity for lower income or houses you give to them. But my worry is about when we talk of low income, we talk of the poor of the poor. I just want to know, how do you regulate therapy? Because every time therapy price is very high, and therapy is used by the poorest of the poor, and as well as cold. A bag of cold is 100 rand, and we don't get the best COVID, the best grade COVID. How are you regulating that as well? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I first spoke with Commissioner Don about the giving to your country and to answer. My input is that I have noted that you just made it clear that in terms of having your own structural building, and I just noted that in terms of your daily fee, I think your expenditure, if I'm not mistaken, you spend a ticket of 18.4 million. I believe the taxi, you have spent it. You know that the rent and stuff, you are paying yourself. Just hope that the money is what you do, 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 what you do
when you have a project that is moving this much, because I believe the cooperative, the rental of the furniture in Australia has improved. However, the answer to your question is that we are the owner of the building today in terms of maintenance. We got one or two more tenants in the building. They are trying to do what we pay for the college, but they need to ask all the important tenants to the college. So it is part of our asset that keeps us growing. In terms of practice and code, unfortunately, our mandate does not extend to hydrocarbon particular practice and code. Low income, to an extent that the paying basic electricity, to an extent that the electricity prices policy has dictated in the dining block, the energy regulator is supposed to implement that. And we did say in our statement that when we determine that we want to increase the services for income, that we are going to, whatever limit the increase of the low income households, in going forward, we want to implement the declining structure, which basically that if you consume more, you pay more. We'll have to find and agree on the threshold. The issue around the benchmark, I'm responding to questions in the reverse order. The issue of benchmark, honorable member, we are actually doing the exercise. We look at various regulators around the world to develop a benchmarking framework. And we try as much as possible to contextualize the situation. For instance, in some jurisdictions, they strictly look at the law, but in our case, we added an element which has a social responsibility inside added as part of the criteria. So we've looked at the regulators globally, and of course, depending on the availability of information, we use that. And the outcome of that project we're going to implement. So it's not an intention, we're actually doing it to be addressing it. Well, the space of security of supply, we are not the only one, but all we know is that as a regulator, our biggest role is to make sure that the construction of the NMPP from the 11th engine up and the construction of storage tanks is a priority. And I'm making sure that the tanks are authorized, storage tanks are licensed. And to an extent that the increase of volume is overcome with the World Cup, I think the volume given reasonable. Because this application, by the way, did not look only on strength 10, it was 5 years ahead, and some of you guys were not very clear. We don't have proof something that is really tied in time. So, to that extent, that is a long term planning we have looked at. We have rejected that some of the applications on various grounds. Without mentioning names, for instance, we have rejected an application whereby applicants wanted to build transmission pipelines and distribution pipelines in the Saldanha area. But the applicant wanted exclusivity. We said we can't do that. I mean, if you want exclusivity, go and get sign of exclusivity and then run the line. So we have, this is our way of example, we have rejected. Of course, yes. Approve it is is it generally used? For instance, my colleague is reminding me of the situation when I buy. You remember the transnational tariffs that they applied for, which is 4% and within the minus 11% return. So that can be approved, but approved meaning you have to leave what you approve. Grant is like granting a license. That's where we use that term mainly. But we can try to clean up that technology. I want to end up with the regulatory term. Honourable President, the negotiated pricing agreement, we are privy to those, but those negotiated pricing agreements were done outside our country. If today the government would enter into a TPA with an okay, then we get to be privy of that. I remember the EPC of Botswana and the power source, we had to and so we know what is in that request and we approve it. But this one we approved during our time. And that is why we know the volumes and what they contribute to the entire production volume in terms of gigawatt hours or petawatt hours. So but we don't have a jurisdiction as you know, things like PPA is the bilateral. And it was decided some 20 years ago. The issue of PV below 1 megawatt, I think it's because we use the criteria to say this technology, for it to be viable, once it starts getting to the areas of 6.3 kilowatt hour, 5.3 kilowatt hour, you begin to yourself that in an electricity environment where electricities are relatively not close to the renewable, will it be a viable technology? For now, maybe in the future, it will become more competitive in terms of commercial viability. So, we may, remember, there's also a test phase, maybe we may look at all other things that will be initial. At the moment, we look at what we think. Can be translated into some action. Finally, this issue around the regular expenditure, as I indicated when I introduced the measure, the issue of the regular expenditure has to do more with the compliance. Now, in terms of the policy, if the regular expenditure is dictated and you can't quantify it, there's a problem. But if there is the regular expenditure, which is of all compliance nature, you can quantify and you explain how it happened and the reason why it happened, then it becomes a matter of disclosure. That is why we know that 60 million. Otherwise, if you don't know, you will be in Palestine. And this has happened in a manner that I've explained. For instance, the treasurer knows that we're not aware of, but now set up systems to make sure that as and when the treasurer knows are issued, thresholds are changed, say from 500,000 to 200,000 for competitive reasons, at least we know that. Just like the speed with which we amended our policy was slower than the speed of the children. That's the main area. But the second area is whereby we thought that if you have a contractor who's maintaining your list, you renew every year or every 3 years, whatever the period is that you specify. So all those things have been corrected and are being corrected.
Thank you, CEO. maybe we forgot to appreciate the report.
that you can be able to oversight you very well. We really appreciate that you gave us this report. We still got a have to have the committee to look around if there are other technicalities we will also be able to do so. But we need to ensure that we just came to our conclusion and tell our thing that we thank you very much that you can present and also we ask that you bring us the reform day. And we also like to acknowledge the other stakeholders that are here. Although you didn't choose you, but you have two that they are here. So thank you very much, Mr. But we really acknowledge that your presence. But you also provide guidance, please. So we as a committee, we really appreciate that it is for the concern of our living of our country. On this note, we really do well in time. I think we have the chairperson and then to you and I really want to appreciate that you all adhere to my principles. You didn't want me to be a useful citizen. Also, make you feel you want to see the other youth.
How are you? I'm okay. Wasn't too long.